Gandalf rescues Bilbo from the trolls, and they move on to other adventures. But it's important to see this idea that the bourgeois Bilbo's left his safe little hole in the Shire, which you'll note, by the way, that he has a wonderfully kept hole, that he has all these beautiful things and all this food, but he doesn't ever seem to actually work. But laying that aside, meets the trolls, has this encounter with the trolls. Then he has a visit to Rivendell and the elves. And for people who've read Tolkien's other fiction, the elves in Rivendell and The Hobbit are very strange because they're completely silly, goofy, not serious at all, just gambling around and laughing and making tedious jokes. And Tolkien really hadn't found what he was doing with the story yet and how important the story was to him when he gets to Rivendell, really not until they meet Elrond. And with Elrond, the half-elven, Tolkien says, this is when people from the old stories would still be found around. And Elrond was one of the lore masters. So it's a character from his Silmarillion mythology that he brings into The Hobbit. And it's at that point that The Hobbit takes off, that it becomes much more serious and much more effective and not just a goofy children's story, much as I like the trolls and their accents. After they leave Elrond, there's a brief encounter with some stone giants, but they only see them in the distance, and that's not really important because the real encounter is with the goblins. I mentioned goblins earlier, goblins being a very important invention for fantasy, because you need cannon fodder, you need some bad guys to kill that you don't feel bad about killing. And Tolkien's sort of inventing that, but his goblins are also a lot like the goblins in The Princess and the Goblin, except they don't have soft, delicate feet that are a weakness. The goblins come into the cave, and in what was, for my whole childhood, the most terrifying moment in all of literature, a crack at the back of the cave opens, goblins leap out, grab Bilbo and the dwarves, and hustle them down into the mines. It's possibly over-determining things to read this poem in the accent, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is what the goblins sing as they drag the dwarves and Bilbo down into their halls. Snap, crack, blablack, crack, grip, grab, pinch, nab, and down, down to goblin town you go, my lads. Okay, so I gave it a little bit of a Russian accent, but the goblins are very much like munitions workers, factory workers, early, scary, factory-laboring communists. And you think, oh, that's way over the top, Drought. How could you possibly do that? But in fact, look at how the goblins are characterized. They manufacture things, mostly weapons of mass destruction, things that explode or things made of metal, things for the purpose of torturing people. And they're utterly interchangeable. Not one goblin has a name. The only goblin that can be separated from any other goblins is the Great Goblin, and all that is he is the Great Goblin. There's no descriptions of them so that you can tell one from another. So yes, I'm making the argument that the goblins are threatening because they're also lower and working class, but they're even more dangerous than the poor laboring trolls because the goblins are organized, because the goblins are all in one group, and as we'll see at the end of The Hobbit, that's why they're so dangerous. They're creatures of machines and slavery. They're not the middle-class people that Bilbo would be used to dealing with.